Take the subject of our study tonight from 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and in verse 5. Appreciate the good reading that was done earlier. 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5, in that particular text, the Apostle Paul said, "Examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you are disqualified?" Examine yourselves. There's a great need for us to undergo a physical examination from time to time by a competent doctor. Sometimes what we do, though, is we feel as though something's wrong with our body, and then we go have an examination. That's just the way man is. He doesn't go have an examination until he feels as though he needs to have an examination. Here, of course, the Corinthians certainly needed an examination. This command, examine yourselves, is a corporate examination. By that I mean a group examination. It is an examination that the congregation at Corinth is to undergo themselves. If we, as individuals, should have a physical examination, certainly a spiritual examination is necessary in our lives as well. And it was certainly true for the Corinthian saints, because they had a lot of problems. Listed on the chart, Paul spoke to them in the first three chapters about the division that existed among them. He spoke about the immorality that existed among them in chapters 5 and 6. About them profaning the Lord's Supper in chapter 11. About the false doctrine and false teaching concerning the resurrection of Christ in chapter 15. Paul certainly saw some things wrong with them, and he certainly gave them a cause in his writing to have them to examine themselves. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 12. "Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall." These people in Corinth needed to examine themselves to be sure. They were under, evidently, the power of sin. When he tells them to examine themselves, he is speaking in regard to a subject earlier in the context, in the previous chapters. They had questioned his apostleship. They had questioned whether Christ was actually in him or not. And so he turns the tables on them. "You've placed me under examination. Now what you need to do is to examine yourselves." We need this same examination that they underwent, though this examination was called for by the church itself. We as individual saints can make personal application of this examination as well, because we're subject to being led astray. We're subject to sin in our lives. 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 3, Paul said, "But I fear lest somehow as a serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." The word simplicity there means single-hearted devotion toward Christ. Single-hearted devotion toward Christ. They're married to Christ. And they were being deceived, just like Eve was deceived. In James 1 and verse 27, we're told to keep ourselves unspotted from the world. If we're going to do that, we need to undergo self-examination from sometimes. We need to examine ourselves, just as the Corinthians were. In Romans 12 and verse 2, Paul told the saints at Rome, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds." We need to examine ourselves from time to time to see if we're conforming ourselves to the ways of the world. So this examination, let's look at this evening. First of all, since the command is to examine yourselves, that means there must be a standard by which that examination is made. That is, there must be a criterion by which that examination is made. If the doctor makes an examination of you, that is, he might do that by particular tests. One of those tests might be a blood test, and in that blood test, he's looking for certain things, and certain things contained in your blood must fall in certain parameters. and he can tell a great deal about you based upon that. He has a criterion, he has a standard to go by. And so it is in our examination as well. We must use a correct criterion, a correct standard, if we're going to make an examination of ourselves. In the military, if a soldier was going to be examined in an inspection, if his uniform and his appearance was going to be examined, then the sergeant or the officer doing the examination would use a standard. It would use an army regulation that described how his uniform was to be worn, where the name tag was supposed to be placed, where the medals were supposed to be placed, in what order were they to be placed. Even his mustache, his haircut, or nowadays the beard, all had to fall within regulation. That was the standard. And so in our lives, we must have a standard if this examination is going to be made. Well, what do we use as a criterion? What do we use as a standard? Well, those who had questioned Paul's apostleship and influenced the brethren at Corinth, their standard was much different than what we ought to use. In 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 12, Paul said, "For we dare, we, under consideration as Paul and Silas and Timothy and Titus and others who labored with him in the establishment of the church at Corinth," he says, "For we dare not class ourselves or compare ourselves with those who commend themselves." Those who commend themselves were those false teachers that came to the church at Corinth. So he says, we dare not. We don't have the boldness to class ourselves or compare ourselves with those who commend themselves. But they, that is those who commend themselves, recommend themselves to churches. But they measure themselves by themselves, and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. Is it our standard? Do we compare ourselves with other humans? Do we measure ourselves with other humans? Is that the criterion we're to have in our self-examination? You know, when a false teacher measures himself by another false teacher who's teaching false doctrine, they measure up pretty good, don't they? Oh, I look pretty good. We commend one another. We recommend one another because we're both teaching the same false doctrine. Well, that's unwise. That's actually foolish to compare yourselves with yourselves. That's not the standard we ought to make the self-examination by. There is a standard to be used, and it is not others, because we'll not be judged by a human standard. John 12 and verse 48, Jesus said, "He who rejects me and does not receive my word has that which judges him. The word that I've spoken will judge him in the last day." So if we're not going to be judged by a human standard, if we're going to be judged by the word of God, we shouldn't use humans as a standard by which we should judge ourselves. Should not do that at all. Well, should we examine ourselves by our emotions? Jeremiah says we shouldn't, because he said in Jeremiah 10 and verse 23, "O Lord, I know the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man who walks to direct his own self." If man is going to get lost and he follows his own way, he will be lost. Man thinks he can determine his direction in life by and through his own means. But when he seeks to do that, he simply gets himself lost every time. The way of man is not in himself. We cannot examine ourselves by our own emotions, by our own think-sos, by our own desires, inclinations. As a matter of fact, the wise man said in Proverbs 14 and verse 12, "There's a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death." So we can't judge ourselves. We can't undergo this self-examination based upon our own emotions, our own I think-sos. There's a good example of this Proverbs 14 and 12, verse 12. "There's a way that seems right to a man, but the end is the way of death." Remember the prophet who went from Judah to Bethel and prophesied against the altar and Jeroboam? Remember, he told Jeroboam that he could not eat or drink while he was there, nor even go back to Judah the same way. He simply could not do it because God forbid him to do it. Well, as he went back to Judah, remember, an old prophet lied to him. And the old prophet said he'd received a revelation and he could come to his house and eat. And he did. He believed the lie. There's a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. What happened to that prophet? He died on the way home. He was killed by the beast on the way. So there is a way that seems right, but that's not the standard we use in this self-examination. Not the standard at all. God's Word is the standard we ought to use. Examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. The faith, the gospel of Christ, is the standard we use. It is the mirror that, you might say, that reflects the condition of our soul. We are able to look into that mirror and we see our spiritual condition. James 1 and verse 22. Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. This one will be blessed in what he does. We may see a true spiritual reflection as we continue to look into the perfect law of liberty. As we open the Word of God and look into it, it gives us a true reflection of our spiritual condition before God. It gives us a true reflection of our spiritual health before God. That's the standard we ought to use. In this self-examination, as we use the faith, the Word of God, then it brings about, of course, a necessary soundness. That is, in this spiritual examination, we want to be sound in health. We want to be wholesome. We want to be whole spiritually. We want to be healthy. We want to be vigorous spiritually. So there's a necessary soundness, and that necessary soundness only comes by the faith, the Word of God. He said, test yourselves. The word examine and test are synonyms. Examine yourselves, test yourselves. Actually, the word examine could have been easily translated, try yourselves. Here, test yourselves. The word test here is the word that the Greeks use for the testing of metals. The testing of metals. They would put the metal through the furnace and they would see if it was genuine or not. If it was mixed with all kinds of impurities or dross that's to be taken away when it's melted. So test yourselves, unless indeed you're disqualified, rejected, disapproved. So put yourself under this self-examination. Test yourself. You might say, put yourself through the fire and see if you prove to be a genuine Christian. See when you come out of that testing, out of that examination process, see if you're approved in the eyes of God. See if you're a genuine Christian at heart. I'm afraid if people made the necessary examination of their life spiritually, they would see themselves to be disapproved. Reprobate, the King James Version uses the word, disqualified, rejected in the sight of God. So a necessary soundness comes about by the faith, the gospel of Jesus Christ. This faith, of course, is a delivered faith. Jude 3, beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith, which was once for all, note that, delivered to the saints. It was delivered. The word delivered there means it was handed down. It was passed on. It was passed on verbally or through the spoken word, and it was also passed on or handed down through the written word. And that happened once. Once for all times, it's been passed on. It's been handed on to the saints, that is, the people of God. One time for all times. It'll never be done again. God's message is final and complete. If you want to be sound and wholesome and healthy spiritually, you're going to have to adhere to the faith that has been handed down, the gospel of Jesus Christ, because that's the only way you're going to be sound and healthy. That's the only way when you do this spiritual examination, if you hold to the faith of the gospel, to the Word of God, you're going to be found sound, healthy, and wholesome in the sight of God. Some are going to depart from the faith, as Timothy said, 1 Timothy 4 and verse 1. And now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith. They'll depart from the gospel, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. Yes, some are going to depart from the faith. They're going to leave the faith, just leave it behind. They're going to apostatize. They're going to abandon it. Some people will simply quit listening to it. They'll quit listening to it. They'll no longer give heed to it. As the Hebrew writer warned those in the Hebrew epistle, Hebrews 2 and in verse 1, therefore we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. What had they heard? They had heard the word that had been spoken through the Lord Jesus Christ. For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him? Well, if they didn't escape under the old law, and they received just recompense from every violation of that law, there will be no escape under the law of Christ either, because he is a superior spokesman. He is indeed the Son of God. So some are going to depart from the faith. Some are just going to quit heeding the faith. They're going to quit heeding the gospel. But we need to give a more earnest heed to the gospel. Some depart from the faith and some quit listening to the faith, the Word of God, and they start listening to seducing spirits and doctrines that the devil authors. Back in 1 Timothy 4 and in verse 1, the Spirit expressly says, in latter times some will depart from faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. Doctrines of demons, teaching of demons. Not that demons are teaching something, but Satan is behind the seducing, deceiving, and beguiling spirits of man. And so the people abandon the faith, they depart from the faith, they quit heeding the faith because they start listening to people who seduce them, lead them astray, beguile them, deceive them. And Satan is behind it all, referred to here simply as the doctrines of demons. And when people do that, they simply make shipwreck of the faith. 1 Timothy 1 and verse 18, Paul said, this charge I commit to you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you may wage the good warfare, having faith and a good conscience, which some have rejected. Concerning the faith have suffered shipwreck, of whom are Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I delivered to Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. Concerning the faith have suffered shipwreck. As far as the faith or as far as the gospel is concerned, these people had suffered shipwreck. That is, they had ruined their soul. They had destroyed their soul as far as the faith or the gospel was concerned. There must of necessity be a soundness, that which brings about a wholeness, that which brings about spiritual health, and that only comes by the faith. But this spiritual examination also means that since man can't bring about this wholeness on his own, this spiritual wellness on his own, there is a need of a Savior. Just as when you get sick, you need a doctor. You need someone to help decide how it is you need to be healed. And so we need, in this spiritual examination, a Savior. A Savior. Someone who's going to bring about the healing. And that, of course, is our Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 13 in verse 5 again, examine yourselves as whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you? Jesus Christ is a person wanting in them. But Jesus Christ is in you. Do you not know that Jesus Christ is in you? The implication is, yes, He is in them. How is Jesus Christ in them? When Jesus Christ is in you, that is, Jesus Christ is in fellowship with you. He's in union and a relationship with you. Just as when you're in Christ, you're in a union, relationship, and fellowship with Him. If Christ is in you, that means you're in fellowship with Him. You're in a relationship with Him. So do you not know that Jesus Christ is in you? You can be wholesome. You can be healthy. You can be spiritually healthy when Christ is in you. Because we must be in Christ in order for Christ to be in us. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17, therefore if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. If we're in Christ, we are a new creature. We're not new creatures in Christ Jesus unless we are in Christ. And unless Christ is in you, you're not a new creature in Christ Jesus. We must be in Christ, not only to be a new creature, not only to have undergone regeneration, not only to have been born again, but to be reconciled to God. Because our sins have separated us from Him. And so being in Christ, we reconcile. We come to back to God on friendly terms again. Before, our sins had separated us from God, and we were at odds or enmity with God. We were an enemy of God by and through our sins. But in Christ, and Christ in you, brings about reconciliation. It brings about a peaceful relationship between you and God again. 2 Corinthians 5 and in verse 18, Paul said, now all things are of God who has reconciled us to Himself through Jesus Christ and has given us apostles, the ministry of reconciliation. Note verse 19, needs to be reworded a little bit. That is, in Christ, that God was reconciling the world to Himself. Or, that is, that God was, put the helping verb was together with reconciling, was reconciling the world, that is, the people of the world, to Himself in Christ, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. So if one is in Christ, he's been reconciled to God. If one is in Christ, note this, his sins are not being imputed to him, not being put down to his charge. If sin's not being imputed to him, what's happening to the sins? They're being forgiven. They're being forgiven. Colossians 1 and verse 14, in whom, or in him, that is in Christ, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. When sin is not imputed to you, it's forgiven. Where does that take place? In Christ. But you're only in Christ as long as Christ is in you. When Christ is in you, you're in Christ. When you're in Christ, Christ is in you. And Christ must be in you. Colossians 1 and verse 27. To them God will to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you. Note this. The hope of glory. Christ in you. The hope of glory. Christ only resides in us. He is in us, in a relationship and fellowship within us, as long as we're in Him. And the only way that takes place is by or through the Word of God being in us. When the Word is in us, in our hearts and in our lives and lived out in our conduct, behavior, and walk and manner of life, Christ is in us and we're in Christ. That's why we're in fellowship and union and a relationship with Him. Thus, in this self-examination, Christ in you is very needful. You'll not be wholesome. You'll not be healthy. You'll not pass as one who is spiritually healthy and wholesome unless Christ is in you. He is indeed the hope of glory. He's the only hope we have in attaining to the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ, Him being in us. Paul said in Galatians 2 and verse 20, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. Note this. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Now, of course, that's the New King James Version. Look at that phrase, the latter portion of the verse. I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. Note the difference between that and the King James Version, which is more accurate translation. I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. By the faith of the Son of God is simply another way of saying that Paul lived by the gospel. That's what he lived by the faith of the Son of God. He didn't live by subjective faith. He lived by the objective faith, the gospel, the faith, the Word of God. And when Paul lived by the faith, the Word of God, Christ was in him and he was in Christ. We need to undergo a self-examination to see what kind of spiritual condition we are in from time to time. This time is a good time to do that. It's the beginning of a new year almost. We need to examine ourselves on a daily basis and see if we are in Christ. See if we're living faithful according to the faith, the gospel of Jesus Christ. If we do not undergo a spiritual examination from time to time, then one day we will be examined. And it will not be a self-examination, but it'll be an examination by our Lord Jesus Christ come the day of judgment. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one might receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or whether bad. We need to be constantly examining ourselves to be sure that we are remaining faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because if we do not do our own self-examination, we will fear that examination come the day of judgment. You know, sometimes when we go to the doctor now for a physical examination, we fear what he's going to find. Why? Because we put off an examination for so long. A physical examination. We know that something is wrong, and so we fear what the doctor's going to find. Come the day of judgment, many people are going to fear what the Lord's going to find in that examination. Don't fear it. Make a self-examination now. Examine yourselves constantly, day by day, and know that you're remaining faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ. Revelation 2 and verse 10, to the saints at Smyrna, the Lord said, be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. The lesson is yours. If you're here this evening, you need to make a spiritual examination, and in that examination, you find you're not in Christ. You need to do what is necessary to get in Christ. In that spiritual examination, if Christ is not in you, you need to do what you need to do for Christ to get in you. Again, you in Christ and Christ in you. Just different ways of saying that Christ is in fellowship with you and you're in fellowship or union with Him. You get in Christ and Christ gets in you through baptism. There's no other way. Through obedience to the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you've done that in times past and as a child of God, you make a self-examination and come to find out that you're not as spiritually healthy as you ought to be. Get rid of that sin before it destroys your soul. Get rid of it. Repent of it. Confess it. We'll pray with you and for you as we stand and sing the song that's been selected.